I'm here on behalf of my graduate student, William Meng, Qingwu Meng, who was planning to be here. He had registered, but unfortunately, his visa is pending approval in China, and so he's not able to be here. So I'm presenting his slides. He finished his master's defense in June, and he created this presentation, and there are more slides than I probably would have put in here myself. So hold on to your chairs and try to get through these in the next 12 or 14 minutes. So a little bit of background. We're focusing on short day plants, and once again, short day plants are those in which flowering is inhibited when the night is shorter than some critical duration. And so when the natural photoperiod is short, commercially growers will use low-intensity lighting to inhibit flowering of these plants. Flower inhibition of the short day plants, and we'll use SDP as the acronym, can be desired in some situations, such as if we're trying to produce vegetative cuttings or if we're simply trying to get the plant to develop a certain mass before it's being induced to flower. To accomplish this, lighting is typically delivered during the middle of the night, and this is called night interruption, or we'll abbreviate NI, and that's successful in pretty much every case to create a long day. And there's been a lot of research done over the years, but typically 4 hours of continuous night interruption lighting is delivered to promote flowering of long day plants and to inhibit flowering of short day plants. The light perception is primarily perceived by red and far red with respect to flowering. The family of photoreceptors that primarily perceive red and far light, red light are the phytochromes. There are as many as 5 or 6 in some cases. And depending upon the proportion of red and far red light in a light source, that can have a response or not. This is an absorption spectrum of phytochrome. You'll see a red-absorbing form with a peak around 660 nanometers and a far-red-absorbing form around 730 nanometers. But also note that there's some absorption in the UV and blue light region. As I said, depending upon the light source, the quality determines how much is in the inactive red-absorbing form as well as the proportion in the active or far-red-absorbing form. And the proportions of each will then dictate a phytochrome photoequilibrium, which we will abbreviate the far-absorbing form, PFR, divided by the total phytochrome in the plant. Of course, this is all based on predictions. These are not things that we actually are measuring. So there have been a lot of different conventional light sources that have been used to deliver long-day lighting or night interruption lighting to short-day plants and long-day plants. Traditionally, incandescent lamps have been the lamp of choice because they're very effective and they're inexpensive. However, they're energy inefficient, they have a relatively short lifespan, and they're being phased out of production. High pressure sodium lamps are also effective, but they generally deliver more light than is necessary. They generate a significant amount of heat, and they're expensive to purchase and install. Compact fluorescent lamps are effective in some cases, but they emit little far red light and in some cases do not control flowering as desired. And so many of us have a lot of interest in LEDs. They're energy efficient and the energy efficiency is only improving. They emit specific colors of light in some cases, or they can have a phosphorus coating on a diode to spread the light out and emit different wavelengths. They have a very long lifespan, assuming that they're operated at favorable temperatures. However, in most cases, they're very expensive to purchase, although fortunately the purchase prices are coming down. I showed this slide yesterday, and I'll go very quickly, but basically previous student Deidre Craig looked at a variety of research projects focusing on effective light quality to promote flowering of long-day plants or inhibit flowering of short-day plants. Generally, if there's a point on the map, that means that treatment was effective in eliciting that response. And we saw that when we're looking at a range of species, that you need some sort of proportion of red and far red light to both inhibit flowering of short day plants or promote flowering of long day plants. However, if we look only at the short day plants that were studied, you can see that red light by itself was also effective. And this fits the paradigm out there that red light is primarily what regulates flowering of short-day plants. The effects of looking at other wavelengths and whether they have a role in regulating flowering have been studied to a limited effect or a limited amount. And what we were interested in is whether blue light plays any role in influencing the flowering response. And we're talking very low intensities, around 1 to 2 micromoles. And the two papers that we found in which this was studied had different results. One study showed that basically there was no effect, whereas another study showed that a mix of blue and red was more effective than red by itself. So our objective was to look at the effects of night interruption lighting with different combinations of low intensity blue, red, and or far red light provided by LEDs, as well as looking at white LEDs, which emit blue and red light, as well as green and generally little or no far red light, and how that influenced flowering of short day plants. Our first hypothesis is we did not expect blue light to have an effect because the absorption of phytochrome is so low. And our second hypothesis is that when we looked at white LEDs, we anticipated that they would have been as effective as the standard control, which was our incandescent lamp. So getting into the protocol, these are the three crops that I'm going to talk about here today. A chrysanthemum golden Cheryl, Dahlia Gallery Pablo, and marigold or Tegedes, it's an American type, Antigua yellow. These are the different light sources that we use, and we are often combining these LEDs. These are not generally fixtures that already have the different combinations, but we're combining fixtures that have a particular LED color. The blue LEDs had a peak of 456 nanometers. Red LEDs peaked at about 660, and far red peaked at about 735. We looked at the white LEDs, and these were just off the shelf from like a mass retailer, and they were more of a warm white LED, and then our standard incandescent lamps. And the intensity was modified either by raising or lowering the bars you can see in the greenhouse, or in some cases the intensity was higher than we wanted, and we used a mesh, a neutral density mesh to cover it to provide shade and reduce the intensity. So that in all treatments, if we're looking at the intensity between 400 and 800 nanometers, were between 1.3 and 1.7 micromoles per square meter and second. We had two control treatments, a 9-hour short day, and that 9-hour day with 4-hour night interruption lighting from incandescent lamps. And then we had 6 different LED treatments, white alone, blue, blue with red or far red, or blue with red and far red, and then another treatment of red and far red. And these were delivered during the middle of the 15-hour dark period on a continuous basis. These are graphs of the spectral distributions of the different treatments. There's not a lot of time to absorb this, but we looked at the red to far red ratios as well as the estimated phytochrome photoequilibrium. What I'd just like to mention, though, is that when we have a treatment such as the red plus far red or the blue plus red plus far red, the addition of blue really did not change the estimated phytochrome photoequilibrium, and that's why we did not anticipate low-intensity blue light to have an effect on flowering. Of course, that's assuming that this would all be mediated by the phytochrome. Just a quick picture of the different treatments showing the experiment in progress. We are careful to measure the other conditions in the experiment to make sure that we're reporting what's happening and trying to reduce anything that might confound the results. The experiment was performed twice, and the average light integral in the two replications were fairly similar. We used supplemental lighting from high-pressure sodium lamps during the 9-hour photo period when the light intensity is relatively low. And because the second rep was performed in late spring and early summer, whitewash was applied to reduce light and consequently reduce the temperature rise in a greenhouse. Temperature is measured on each bench, and it's reported here. They're generally similar within a rep, but you can see rep 2 was about a degree warmer. We used routine management and maintenance of plants following established protocols and collected a fair amount of data, leaf number at transplant as well as the date of first flower. And then at flowering, we recorded the date, the height, the leaf number, visible bud number, and flowering percentage, and then analyzed the data in the two replications and pooled it with SAS. So getting into the results, most of these are just presented in picture format. You can see the short day plant on the left flowered very quickly, as we would expect because it is a short day plant. Blue light by itself or blue with far red was not perceived as a long day. Interestingly, the treatment that delayed flowering the most, which would be the lamp type that was most effective, was the white LED, and that was a little bit unexpected in that it delayed flowering more than our traditionally used incandescent lamp. But if you look at the comparison of the addition of blue light to the red and far red treatment, the two treatments on the right, we're seeing that the response is the same. Presenting some data for plant height, the plants that flowered quickest were the shortest, which is not surprising. And the treatments that included far red light, which would include the treatments red and far red with blue or without, generally were the tallest. And similarly, trends were similar where plants that flowered quickest had the fewest flower buds at flower. What about dahlia? Actually, this is a plant that under a 9-hour short day, they became semi-dormant, where they actually didn't even flower. And so even though it's a short day plant, it was actually too short for flowering of this, and we've seen this before with dahlia. And so treatments that were not perceived as a short day, or not perceived as a long day, were those delivered by blue or blue and far red, at least in the first rep. When we did the second rep, the only thing that was substantially different was that we had some perception of a long day with the blue and far red in rep 2. But again, similar responses whether or not there was the addition of blue light in the night interruption lighting. And then the last plant, the marigold, again, if we're trying to delay flowering, that would indicate that the lamp type is effective. Blue and blue plus far red were generally not, and the addition of blue light had no effect on regulating the flowering time. So to conclude, in at least the crops that we studied, when added to red and far red light, the addition of blue light did not influence the flowering response. All the lighting treatments except blue and blue plus far red were perceived as a long day, although we saw that, at least with chrysanthemum, the white LEDs were the most effective and were at least equally effective as other treatments. Those treatments that also included far red light did promote extension growth, which was not surprising. So I apologize for going through that rather quickly. I'd like to finish by acknowledging the funding sources for this research. Technical assistance from Mike Ulrich, he's our research assistant, as well as other graduate students and technicians, and a colleague for help with analyzing the statistics. Thank you for your attention.
We've got time for a question.
I know when you get a negative result, it's not always the most exciting, but we thought it was important because, as I mentioned yesterday, there's some commercial LED fixtures that have been manufactured specifically for flowering applications. They do include a blue diode or a white diode, and one of the reasons we did this study was to determine whether that played any role in the flowering response, and we can pretty much conclude no, it did not.
So going forward, would you recommend that those manufacturers include the blue or the white diode in those flowering lamps?
It depends. I think an advantage, and thanks for asking the question, by the way. An advantage would be that if it's only red and far red, the lights appear really dim. In fact, it's sometimes hard to tell if they're on if the day is somewhat bright. So an advantage of having a white or a blue LED is you can easily see that it's on and hasn't burned out. Now, however, given that these are LEDs, these should be lasting for decades. And so whether it's worth including that, I would say probably not. Okay, thank you.